All right. Good evening. Our retreats go by so fast, right? It's like we're like almost done already. It's crazy. So far we looked at, oh my gosh, so cute. last night, just Christ being our greatest blessing. This morning we looked at how the gospel changes our relationships with one another, seeking reconciliation and peace. And today I want to talk a little bit more about living out the gospel, okay? And I think this is a really big kind of difficult thing that we see, maybe especially in like an Asian American context. I think we like study the word so much. We hear like theology, and we like go to so many Bible studies. And I almost think that the challenge for especially Asians is not that we don't know enough of the gospel, but that we just don't live it out. Like, we don't live out the actual things that we heard, like, a million times. And so, the gospel, it should change everything about us. That's what the Bible says. And it should affect everything. That relationship should change everything. And you know, I'm talking about Jessica so much because that's, like, pretty much all I have going on in my life. But my fiance, just so you know, yeah. My relationship with her has changed me, okay? She's real, right?
I've not met her, but others in this room have.
Yes, I have pictures for proof.
He does this, so.
And so, you know, one, like, just really very simple, like, changes is, I don't know if you guys remember, like, but back in the day, I used to wear, like, basketball shorts, like, all day, right? That was, like, my life, basketball shorts, right? So comfy, right? And so, you know, after, like, being in a relationship with her, she was like, you know what, like, your clothing, you know, something just has to change, you know? And it wasn't, like, that bad, okay? Let me explain. So, I had this, like, specific pair of basketball shorts with, like, paint all over it. Right, like paint was all over it. I like wore it to like community service events or something. And I would just wear that like when we would go out on dates. Okay? And so she was like, wow, like why are you wearing this? Like, you know, like I can buy you some like nicer stuff, right? And I was like, oh, it's okay, I like it. And so that was kind of like that was my thing, right? Other things have changed too, not just clothes, but like you know, I ended up playing basketball, okay, and so like it's hard for me to play always in the day. Sometimes you gotta play like at nighttime, right? Because people will run. So people play basketball all night, right? And so, I would run, and then we would play ball. Hi. Yeah. We'd play basketball, and then I would call her at night, and she'd be like, oh, so, you know, like, you know, playing ball, like, what are you gonna do now? And, okay, everyone is a little bit different, but, so I'm typically like a morning shower person, okay? And so if I play basketball at night, it like throws off my like cycle, kind of, okay? And so, and this is how like, I'm just gonna admit how like, bad this is, okay? Sometimes I would be so lazy, like after playing basketball, because I do morning shower, right? I play basketball at night. Sometimes I would be so lazy, I don't want to shower, okay? And so I would wear, like, don't judge me, please, okay? I would wear, like, sweatpants, okay? And then, like, a sweater, and then go into my bed. So, like, I wouldn't, like, stain my bed. I wouldn't, like, corrupt the bed, right? But then I would just, like, fall asleep, right? And Jessica, she would be like, dude, like, are you going to shower tonight, right? And I'm like, yeah, maybe, you know, I might shower. She's like, dude, you're so gross, right? That's disgusting. Like, why are you doing that, right? And I always use this as, like, my comeback. Okay, my comeback would always be, I knew this one roommate in college. Okay, this is how... If you think I'm gross, this is how dirty this guy is, okay? He would play ball late at night, and then he would go home. He would shower, okay? Because he felt so, like, he would smell, okay? So he would go home, he would shower, and then he would put the clothes he wore from that day back on, okay? And I would always be like, okay, I know it's really gross. Okay, I'm sorry. But, like, remember Tim? Dude, that guy's disgusting, right? At least I'm not that guy. And so that would kind of be, like, my thing, right? And, you know, it's kind of silly, and we talk about this, but I think even if we take this picture, okay, as kind of weird and silly as it is, and kind of move that into our spiritual relationship with God, some of us, okay, I think we relate. We can relate to this. We know Christ, okay? with my friend. We know Christ. We understand, okay, I'm clean. You know, I need to be clean. And so we're clean. But then we do this weird thing in our walk with God. And we go back to our sin. And we're kind of like stuck in that. And it becomes like habitual. It becomes like an addiction. And although we've been cleansed, we still remain in our filth. And it's a struggle, I think. And so what does that look like exactly as Christians? Like, I think we all have certain things and temptations that we struggle with, that we're prone into falling into, and it's different for everyone. But what does it look like for us to be a Christian and kind of fight with sin and kind of walk? What does that look like? What does it look like to live like a Christian? Because I have so many youth students, and we always do this, is at my church, we had a retreat, and we called it Rooted, and we're saying, hey, like, you know, because you know the gospel, you're a Christian. And then we went around, and the first question in our small group was, are you a Christian? You know, are you a believer? And they would go around, and I'd ask each person, like, oh, I want to know, you know, how's your relationship with God? And they would share, and what they would say is, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, because I struggle so much with sin. I struggle so much with sin. I don't even know if my life has, like, even changed. Like, my life looks so similar, like, before and after knowing Christ. I don't even know if I'm a Christian. And some of us, I don't know what season exactly all of us are in. I don't know where you are at with your relationship with God, how your quiet time, devotional time looks like. I don't know. But I'm going to try to address this question tonight. What does it look like for us to live like Christ? Okay? And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. So we're moving on from chapter 2. Chapter 2 was unity in the body. Chapter 3 is the mystery of Christ, of the gospel being revealed. Ephesians 4, we're going to continue to pick up actually in the middle of Ephesians 4. It goes back to unity, which we already talked about. And now in verse 17, we're looking at the believer living a life like Christ. And so I'm going to start, and I'll read verses 17 to 19 for us. Okay, hopefully you've clicked your way there by now. Now I say this and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greed to practice every kind of impurity. Okay, I'm going to just stop right here. Okay, and so what we have here is Paul, he's painting the picture of a believer for us. He's gonna tell us what it looks like to live like Christ, to live like a believer, to deal with sin and all this kind of stuff. But right from the beginning, he kind of gives us this really dark picture of sin. He's just talking about, like, how bad life is without Christ, pretty much. Like not knowing, okay? Because the Gentiles, right? Not the Jews. The Gentiles, they don't know God. They just live however they want. And Paul is painting for us a picture of just how bad sin is, what this looks like. See, my best man, okay, he got married last year, okay, and I was his best man, and so we're kind of switching roles, okay, and so me and some of the groomsmen were like, all right, you know, he's a pretty good friend, and so we should try to do something nice, and we're like, we have to get him a gift. And so we're like, what does every guy pretty much like want for a gift? Like a big TV, right? Like a big TV for his PS4, right? Pretty much. That's a really good gift. And so, me and some of the groomsmen, we went to Costco. Okay? Cause we don't know anything, right? So we go to Costco, and you know how, like, right when you walk in, they're just like TVs, right? And they're like nice, right? So we're there, we're browsing, and then a Costco worker sees us. And he's like, oh, like, do you guys need some help? And we're like, oh, yeah, I think so. You know, this is our budget. You know, we have this much amount set aside. And we don't know which one is better. Like, should we get this one? You know, this is, like, this size, this one. Like, and we're studying it a little bit. And so, you know, like, they're, like, different, like, hertz or something. And, like, the power. And, like, some is, like, 1080, 4K. Some are curved, right? All this, like, weird stuff. We're looking at it. And we're like, we don't know, like, what is exactly better. And, you know, like, those, like, those clips of, like, nature or, like, the mountains, they're, like, so beautiful, right? So we're looking at it, and we're like, everything looks so good. Like, we don't know, like, what's worth it. And so we're talking to the worker, and he's trying to explain to us. He's like, okay, look at this image, and then look at this image. You can tell, right? You can see the difference. And we're like, Yeah, no, right? We're like, it's so clear, both of them, right? We don't really get it. And he's like, okay. It's so obvious to him. He's trying to explain it to us. And so he said, okay, he's like, when you look at a picture, when you look at the image, the way to tell if a TV is really good is, so take some notes, right? The way to tell is you look not at the colors, not at the bright colors, but you look at the blacks. And the darker the black is, the brighter the colors will be, the more vivid. And so you're looking for the darkest tone blacks. That means the TV is good. The colors will pop. That's what it looks like. Okay? And in the same way, what Paul is doing for us in the beginning is, he's saying, sin is so bad, sin is so dark, and he's setting us up to see the beauty, the light of the gospel. Okay? And so follow with me here. He's saying, this is what sin looks like. He's saying, sin in the beginning, verse 18, it darkens, right? It darkens us. And so it kind of dims the light of the gospel. We can't see as clearly. We lose our sight. We don't really know what is right from wrong anymore. That's what sin does in the beginning. And then as you continue in this passage, then sin alienates us. It separates us. It cuts us off. So many people who I see not in church anymore, when I actually do sit down with them, or when they actually do come back and I talk to them about stuff, it's usually sin. Right? It's something they're struggling with. They feel bad a lot of the times, and they don't want to come back. And so sin alienates us from the church, from the gospel, and then what happens is we become ignorant. There is no idea of Christ. There is no idea of God. Our hearts begin to harden, as it says in verse 19, and it becomes callous. It's like when you play guitar, okay, and your fingers, like, it's so painful. I don't know if you guys ever tried playing guitar. Like, it calluses. It hardens. So there's no sensitivity anymore. Now your heart is hardened, and when you hear the gospel, when you see the songs, when you read the Bible, it no longer, like, does anything in your heart. This is what happens if you leave sin. If you're walking in this lifestyle, this pattern of sin, not with Christ. And that's what happens. It's a downward spiral, and it's a slippery slope. It's an infection that spreads quickly. Things go from bad to worse. It gets worse and worse, right? And this is how sins become addictions. And these habits become something that it's really hard for us to break out of. And I'm sure all of us in here struggle with certain things. I don't know if we will ever want to call it an addiction, but for some of us, maybe it is. Maybe it is an addiction. And we've been wrestling with a certain sin for like weeks or months or years or 10 years or 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. There's things that we wrestle with. And that's what it looks like if it's not exposed to the light, right? If it festers in the darkness, it only gets worse and worse. I had a friend who worked in ER, okay? And so like crazy stuff comes in, right? It's like the most bizarre things. People are like panicked to come in. One time she was working like super late at night. A grandma came in, okay? And she just sat there, and she was like insanely like old, okay? Imagine like the oldest person you can imagine. She's super skinny. And she said she walked into that room to care for her, and she noticed instantly, right when she walked in, like a smell, okay? And you know how old people, they have like a certain smell, okay? But this is like a different, it's like a different smell, okay? It's like really bad. Like you could like, it hits you in the face, right? And she's like, oh man, like she didn't know what that was. And then she asked this like old lady, like, oh, so, you know, how come you're here? You know, is everything okay or whatever? And this lady's like, yeah, my like legs, they're like super itchy. Like I want to like scratch my legs all the time. And like, I think I have like a rash or like a reaction or something like that. And she wasn't like explaining it very well. And she was wearing like sweatpants. And so my friend was like, okay, well, maybe I could just take a look at it and kind of see the problem. And so she's like, do you mind if, you know, we roll up the pant legs and so I could take a better look. So they did that. They rolled it up. And then she had these high socks on, right? Not just like ankle socks, but like all the way up. And she's like, yeah, my legs down here, like it's itchy. Like I just want to keep scratching it, right? And then she's like, okay, well, you know, do you mind if I take your sock down and get a better look? And so she was taking the sock down from this elderly lady, and her skin was like attached to the sock, okay? And like as she would take it down, it like started to like peel off a little bit, okay? And she instantly knew, like right when she touched the sock, like, dude, this is a smell. Like it was like rotting. Like pretty much, like that's the picture of what was there. And she's like, "What? Like, what happened? Like, what is going on?" And she's like, "She didn't want to admit it, and it's so like evident that she didn't change her socks for like months, like for so long. She would just scratch it; it would heal over and kind of get embedded into her skin, and she had to take care of that, right? And it's a really like weird, strange, like gross picture." But that's exactly what our sin looks like if we don't take care of it. If you don't address it, if you're not taking it seriously, if you're just leaving it there and not touching it, and you know, you're just saying to yourself, you know what, my sin, it can get better. You know, I can fight it a little bit harder. I can do something. But in reality, when you do nothing about it, nothing changes in your life. That's the picture of it. It's only going to get worse. If no one knows, if you don't tell anyone, if you're not changing anything, if you're not fighting sin, it's only going to get worse. Your life without God can only go down, pretty much. That's the only path it can go. And so Paul, he's frustrated. He's painting this picture. This is how bad sin is. This is what your life looks like without God. And then he says, but you, Christians, you know better. You know better than to live like that. You know so much better. Continue. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. He says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. You know Christ. And he says, assuming that you have heard about him, of course, Paul was with them for so long, and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. And he's saying, okay, that lifestyle of sin and just living in that, he's like, you know that's not right. You know. You know Christ. That's why. You know the gospel. That lifestyle should not be what your life looks like. And he continues on from verses 22. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so Paul is saying here, for the believer, you know that way is not right because you know Jesus. So what you need to do is you have to put off that old life, all that corruption, all the wrongdoing, all that evil, all those deceitful desires. Deceitful, that means lies. All the lies that sin promises. Oh man, if you do this, you're gonna feel so good. It's gonna be so worth it. Those are all lies. Those are all deceitful desires that we have in our hearts. That's the old self. That's the old ways. And we buy into that sometimes. And we fall back into that. We slip and fall. But he says, no, you need to fight sin. He says you have to take sin seriously. That's what sin looks like. If you're unaware, then it's so dangerous for you. Verses 23 and 24. So be renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self, the new life created after God, to live like Christ. And Christ is the one who lived righteous and holy. That's Christ. That's what he has done. And we need to renew ourselves in the gospel, in knowing that's what we have as believers. We are deemed holy and blameless, not because of our actions or our performance, but based on what Christ has done for us. That we are clean, and we are to walk like that. And so I think for a lot of us, and I think this goes like, especially for like Asians, I don't know why we go into this, but Asians, we fall into this like mentality that we need to like be perfect. Like we need to be well-rounded from a young age, like not just grades, but like extracurriculars. You have to do all this other stuff. You have to be like this perfect person. But this, the gospel, it frees us from perfection. You're not meant to be perfect. Christ is perfect. We have him. His life is ours if we put our faith in him. That's what it looks like. You don't have to be holy and righteous. You can't be. But Christ is for us. But the problem is this. We still slip, and we still stumble, and we still fall at times. even though we know we have this in Christ, we still are kind of, our hearts, well, they're prone to wander. We're prone to going back to our old sin, our old lifestyles, especially in times of like stress, especially in times when we're transitioning, there's discomfort. It's so easy for us to go back. That's what we were used to. That's what we enjoyed. And this picture, I think it is given best through this example, and I'm stealing this from our college pastor. He's great, and I love this example. It's one of my favorite ones to kind of explain what this really looks like. And I love it for a reason you'll see very quickly, okay? Imagine, okay, I know this is not always the best direction to go into, okay, because guys and girls or whatever. Imagine you're playing basketball, okay? Imagine you're playing basketball. And you finally made it to the NBA. Okay, girls, WNBA, okay, whatever, okay. So you made it to the league, okay? You're finally there. And you get drafted. But you get drafted to the Clippers. So sad, right? It's so sad. And so you go to practice, okay? But you're still excited to go into the league, okay? You go to practice, you park in the parking spot, you go into Staples Center, you have a locker room, whatever, you gear up, you start playing, okay? Your coach tells you, run these plays. And these are your teammates, okay? So you're playing ball, okay? You're doing the best you can. You look up in the rafters, no winning, right? And you're like, oh man, this is tough. This is rough, right? We have to break out of this. And it's hard. But then, one beautiful day, okay, you get traded. Two, you move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, right? And you get to the, you go on the Lakers. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, right? Okay, not maybe not right now, okay? But like 5 years ago, right? This is amazing. And you're like, okay, it's different, okay? You're like, I'm on a different team. It's a different culture. I have different teammates. I have different coaches, whatever. But then what? What happens the next day? You're doing like the same thing. Guess what? You go to practice. It's in, your games are still at Staples Center. You're going to the same place. It's the same hoops. You look up. Okay, not this side, but this side. Whoa, look at all these championships, right? It's beautiful. And that's the culture now. That's what it looks like. And I think for a lot of us, we think, oh, I wasn't a Christian and now I'm a Christian. Boom, I'm supposed to have this like 180 degree turn where everything in my life changes. Sin, oh, it's not even a distraction. It's not a struggle anymore. And we think, because we see these like crazy testimonies, oh, I was a murderous like drug dealer and now like I opened an orphanage, right? And you're like, wow, that's what like Christians look like. But not so. See, something as simple as moving from, you know, the Clippers to the Lakers, that's how subtle sometimes it feels to be a Christian. Your identity is completely changed. Completely. But from the outside, from a certain perspective, everything looks very similar. Very similar. And so the problem is, even though you're on this championship caliber team and things are different, you start running plays. The first game happens. It's... Although you're in the same building, same place, the first play, you're like, okay, you know, I have the ball. I'm supposed to go over here. But then, what? You're like, oh man, you start getting confused because you ran those other plays your whole life. And so you pass to the other side, you run into someone on your own team, and you're messing up, right? And you're like, oh man, I'm blowing it. But when you mess up, guess what happens? You're not automatically changed. Your identity doesn't change. Your team doesn't change when that happens. If you mess up and you're a Laker, you're a Laker. That's what it looks like. That's your contract. Okay, you're still that. But after time, more and more practices, you're gonna get into the hang of it. And you're no longer gonna run those plays. You're gonna run these new ones. And it's gonna be comfortable. It's gonna be familiar. And you're gonna walk in this way. And see, being a Christian, it's not always this boom, 180 degree turn, and oh, if I fall into sin, oh, am I, and then you ask yourself, oh, am I a Christian still? Of course you're a Christian still. You change teams. You move from one kingdom into another. If you believe in Christ, you are His. And if you stumble, you stumble. but you're a stumbling saint. That's what it looks like. Do you get this? And so, of course, as a Christian, you have to take sin seriously because of how dangerous it is. But when you stumble and fall, and you will stumble and fall, what do you do with that sin? Right? What do you do with that? Because for, I think a lot of us, we go to a place where, and I talk to a lot of my friends, they go to a place where they sin, and they sin, and they sin, and maybe in one particular moment, they sin so badly, they question if they were ever saved. And I don't know if you ever gotten to that place, and I hope you never even get to that place, but sometimes that happens. You sin so much, it's the amount is so great, or so deep, that you're like, man, was I even saved to begin with? I don't even know anymore. But remember, what you do with your sin is, you fight it, and when you fall, you always have to renew your minds in the gospel. And that means you repent. That means you take it to the cross. That means you take it to Christ every single time. And so there's a band I know, man, they're one of my favorite bands, King's Kaleidoscope. But they have a certain line in a song, and this line says, "My sin are stories of grace to recall." He's saying every time I sin, every time I look back at my sin, they're just stories of grace at the end. What that means is when you sin, that's not the full picture. That's not the whole story. Your sin is just so you can get to Christ, so you can get to grace, so you can get to forgiveness, so you can get to love. Sin is there for us, in some sense, to always remind us of how much we need Christ. And you have to get to Him. And if you don't get to Him, you kind of miss the point of Christianity. And if you think, oh man, I sinned, I'm bad, I'm not a Christian anymore, you miss the point. Christians sin all the time. All the time. But what separates a Christian from a non-Christian is a Christian always goes to repentance. Not just asking for forgiveness and saying, God, I'm sorry, but repentance is change, right? Trying to change, trying to walk forward and knowing that even though I messed up in this play, I'm gonna grow if I walk with God. I'm gonna grow if I stay in the church. I'm gonna get better. It will get better. I will slip. I will stumble. I will fall. But every time I do that, I take my sin to Christ. And so, as we continue to do that, I know it's so challenging and it's so hard. I have a friend who recently struggled like crazy. He went through seasons like of depression, and after talking to him for a long time, he struggled with many years of depression, many years of suicidal thoughts. And his question for me, when we met up, and he would ask this constantly, he would ask me, "Chris, like, you know, when I get into my seasons of depression and I get really down," he says, he's trying to explain to me, like, this is what happens. I replay in my mind my mess ups and my failures and the things that I didn't do well or right. And those things keep coming to me over and over and over again to the point where he kind of, it freezes that person up and they're kind of unable to do anything. And he's saying, those images, those mess ups, those failures in my life, they're so bad. They're so bad. And then he says to me, "How could God forgive me? Isn't this not what it looks like to be a Christian? Like, shouldn't, after knowing Christ, my sins, even though I do stumble, shouldn't it be like not as bad as before? Because before, maybe I was like this. Maybe I lied a little bit, watched a little bit of things I shouldn't have watched. Maybe I struggled with this a decent amount. But after knowing Christ..." Yeah, of course, I get it. I get what you're saying, Chris. Of course we're gonna stumble and fall. But shouldn't the progression kind of be this upward progression where we mess up a little bit, but we grow. We mess up a little bit, but we grow. He says, "What if I feel like my growth in Christ comes to a place where it's a downward spike? And the sin I committed after knowing Christ is far worse than before knowing Him." He's like, what do I do with that? What does that look like? Isn't that not what Christianity, not what the Bible says? And I was talking to him, and I was saying, but think about all the big, just think about some big sins in the Bible. Some like major sins, let's just say, right? Let's just say David, okay? Bathsheba, okay? All that stuff, murder, killing the husband, all that stuff tied together. Didn't King David already know the Lord? Didn't King David already walk with God? He did. And in some sense, that sin, while knowing God, while walking with him, it was far worse than before. What did he do before? Did he commit adultery and then have someone killed? I don't think so. And something as bad as Peter, right? He denied Christ 3 times. That's probably one of the worst sins in the New Testament. But Peter walked with God for 3 years. He knows God. He says, I would never turn away from you. I love you. I would never do that. And then he denies Christ to his face 3 times. See, the picture of being a Christian isn't always that you sin less and you sin not as much and you start doing all these great and good things. That's not the picture of Christianity necessarily, because sin happens. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. It might be even worse than you could ever imagine. You might mess up worse than you ever would like to admit. That can happen. But you repent. But you go back to the gospel. You remember you have a Savior who's perfect. You're not perfect. You're not meant to be holy and blameless. He is. That's the whole point of Christianity. See, and even going through that, not just sinning less, but even good works, right? In the Old Testament, it says all your good works are what? Filthy rags to me. All your good works, all the good things you do for the wrong reasons, right? That's what he says. Your heart's wrong. You're not doing it right out of pure love. That's even the good things you do, that they're not good. The picture of being a Christian isn't always sinning less. I'm going to say that. The picture of a Christian isn't always doing more good stuff. There's different seasons of life. But a Christian in any season will always, always, always turn back to Christ in repentance. They'll always struggle with sin, and it'll always lead them back to the cross. That's what it looks like. We have to renew our minds constantly. And it's hard to always remember that. But that's the truth we have in the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel. See, after Jessica looked at my shorts, and she's like, oh, terrible, right? These painted shorts. Okay, she's like, okay, you need new clothes. So we would go to stores, and we pick out different things, and we would put, and she would like pick out things for me to try on. Okay, she's like, okay, these are all the shirts you need, all the pants you need. She'd be like, here. And I would be like this, like really stubborn, like hard nose, like, oh, like I don't need this stuff, you know, so superficial, right? And so I would make it so difficult for her. I'd be like, fine, okay, you want me to put this clothes on? Fine, I'll put it on, right? And so I would, instead of going to the dressing room, I'd be like, okay, fine, you want me to try on this shirt? I'll try it on right here, right? So I'd put it on and kind of button it up, and I'd be like, look, well, how does this look, right? And she's like, this looks terrible. Like, look, you're not even like trying, right? You're not even wearing it, right? I'm like, well, I'm putting it on, right? I'm putting it on. And she's like, no, that's not what it looks like. You have to take your shirt off, your shirt underneath off. Okay, you have to look a certain way. It has to look a certain way on you, right? And even more recently, her parents were nice enough to buy me like a suit, a nice suit at J. Crew, right? It's really nice, okay? So I went there. I know, right? I went there, and then I got the coat and the pants, and then I went in, and the guy working there, he's like from like Europe or something, like real fancy. He knows fashion, okay? He's like, oh, do you have a dress shirt? And I was like, oh, I forgot. No, I don't have one. He's like, oh, okay, you know, just put on this dress shirt. And I was like, oh, okay. And as I was walking to the dressing room, maybe he saw my lack of fashion. He's like, oh, by the way, you're gonna take your shirt off, right? The shirt you're wearing, make sure to put on the dress shirt, that's it, okay? Don't wear your shirt underneath. And even though Jessica told me that like 4 years ago, I like forgot. I was like, oh yeah, okay, well, I remember, right? I remember. And see, even though we're like, you know the gospel, Jesus, I know grace, I know forgiveness, I know healing, I know I'm supposed to go to him. But still, even though we've known for so long, sometimes we just forget. We're just forgetful people, and we need to be reminded. Take it, take it back to the cross, right? Whatever sin you're in, of course you're struggling in your walk. Because you still have on your old lifestyle, because you haven't changed. You have to put on what is new. You have to renew your mind constantly. You have to take it back to the gospel, take it back to the Savior, take it back to the cross, right? And let me just end with this. Jessica and I, we're very different people, okay? When it comes to clothes, it's so funny. Like, we go shopping. Sometimes she buys stuff, I buy stuff. She goes home. She's the kind of person when right after she buys something, like the next day she wears it. And she's like, oh, like I bought this new shirt. I'm going to wear it right away. And I'm the kind of person, maybe because I'm practical, okay, I buy clothes and it only goes into the rotation once like the clothes I have now is like over, you know, once there's like too many holes. So I just have like a stockpile of like brand new clothes in my closet. Okay. It's so weird. I don't know why I do, but I just do that. Okay. And so once there's like too many holes, then I'll replace it. Then I'll do that. And I remember Jessica, she, every time, like, the day after, and she sees me wearing something really old, she'll be like, you're still wearing that shirt, but you have a brand new shirt. You're still wearing those, you have brand new pants. I know you have it. I was with you when you bought it, right? She says that to me all the time. And what she says is this. She says, why are you still wearing that? Why are you still wearing that? You have something better. You have something better. And my encouragement to you guys is, if you're a Christian and you know Christ, are you still in that lifestyle, that those addictions, those sins? Are you still in that? Are you still in the old way of life? Because you have something better. You have something so much better. Why are you still in that? It doesn't make sense. Always go to Christ. Put Him on. Put on His righteousness. Put on His holiness. It's not yours, it's His. We have something greater. Continue to remind yourself of that. Let's pray. And again, I'm going to lead us in a few topics. I think it's always appropriate to not just hear the word, but to respond to it right away. And so the first thing I want to talk about is our sin. And I think a lot of us don't really want to face or think about our sin. Even when we confess to God, even when we repent, we're so generic and we say things like, we sinned and we messed up and we did something bad and I'm sorry. And we're very general. And I think in some sense, because we have Christ, we don't need to be afraid to actually look at our sin for what it really is. Some of us might really be in addictions right now, and we're addicted to certain sins. And you don't want to call it an addiction because it's too strong of a word, but that's just really what it is. And if you're struggling with that, it's okay to admit. Because we have a Savior who can change us. We have a Savior who can take us out of that. And so right now, why don't we take some time, reflect on your own sin, whatever those things are, maybe in the past week, maybe in the past month, maybe in the past year, maybe recently, you've been not thinking about God, and He's not a priority, and you don't know how long it's been since you did a devotional, since you prayed, since you really cared about the church and the people or God. Why don't we take some time to really be honest with our sins? It's okay to be honest. And just take this time to confess to God and say, I'm sorry for doing this, for watching these things, for saying these things, for falling into adultery, greed, pride, for being so impatient. Whatever those things are, be honest to God and turn to Him and lead your sin to Him. Give it up to Him. Why don't we take a few moments praying this? Second, you know, the gospel is so beautiful in that even though we're imperfect, we get the perfection of Christ based on what he's done for us. And repentance isn't just confessing our sin, but it's also turning away from it. And so I think for a lot of us, we do struggle, maybe a lot, with walking in our old ways, falling back into certain sins and certain habits and certain temptations, and we need to fight. And some of us, I think, have been fighting for so long that we're tired and we're weak, and some of us, we're fighting on our own. And we need a leader, maybe parents or Pastor Jay or other people. We need to confess, actually, and talk to them about our sin so that we can fight it, so that we can grow and mature and walk with Christ and live like Christ. And so why don't we take some time? If you've been fighting for so long and you're just so tired and you're like, you know what? It's been months. It's been years. It's been over 20 years of me fighting this sin and struggling with this. Why don't we take some time just to be refreshed and renewed in the gospel, and knowing that even if we stumble and sin a million times, every time we go to Christ, every time we're honest and we ask for help, God will be there for us. And he always gives us another chance. There's always forgiveness. There's always hope for us. We can always change because of Christ. And for others of us, because we're fighting sin alone and we don't want to tell people, maybe we're ashamed, maybe we're scared, we don't want to admit certain things, maybe what you do need to do is ask God for the courage to find someone you trust, a leader, someone you could talk to, and confess it to them so that they can help you walk with Christ through this. And so why don't we take some time to do this, to be refreshed in the gospel, and then I think we have a few songs.